Stephen, did you know, I know you guys don't follow American politics that closely, but do you remember what Trump's idea was to drain the swamp?
No.
Does everyone know?
No.
Do you know what? Okay.
Yeah, he talked about that. And that he just puts in more people from the industry in there. Let's see how his draining of the swamp helps or works.
Correct. Well, it's quite funny. I thought it was quite interesting that he came to this metaphor about the pond.
Okay.
you got it. You get the. That's quite funny too now because of the way the Americans are dealing with this problem of. Let's experiment here. Works. All right. I think I have 1 second left before the recording starts. Good. I think the recording has started. So as I say, this section of the lecture will try to reflect and give you some new words. I'm waiting for other students to come. I'll give them a couple minutes. But how many people have looked up historical materialism? Google it, please. Stephen, have you looked up historical materialism?
Yes.
Well, actually, the thing that gets me, I was going back to this, I had to learn about this in my high school. Yeah, this is all, I mean, I'm talking about grade 11 stuff here now. So it's quite interesting when I come to hear that it's not there. I was talking to other people in Canada, so I'm finding that's one of the problems is the liberal arts education that you get in your high schools. And in a sense, maybe other one, but they're philosophical terms.
I think at least we have learned about it more like in another
context.
Another context. We learn about the different isms from like this is Marxism, this is nationalism, this is all isms like that, and then a historical materialism is a part of it. Then you don't, it's not settled in
frame. Okay, so going back to the comment was why in this term here, so I have to figure out for next lecture, I guess I will put in material stuff about this because I realized that people didn't know about it now. And it was quite funny because it was brought up in this lecture. Now, the idea is, from a scientific perspective, is how... If we look at the model that was presented, we had an artifact, we had, and next to that we had the cultural level, and then we had the assumptions. Now, when we're analyzing how we're going to deal with cyber security. Is it a new problem or is it an old problem? Anybody want to take a look? Do you think cybersecurity is different than any other crime? Anybody have an opinion? Just say yes or no. I'll just go through. Is cybersecurity a brand new phenomenon? Yes or no?
Can I say both?
Both. One answer.
Brand new?
Yeah, is it new? I mean, what's the difference between cybercrime and ordinary criminals? Are cybercriminals different than people that go and rob banks? Yes or no? Yes. No. Both?
In terms of crime, the crime is the same, but it's a different way of doing it.
Fine.
I would say not the same. It's a crime, either way, but it's a different way of doing crime.
It's an enabler. Crime
So one of the problems with the model of security culture, you didn't define what was the subculture. Why do people, you said why the boss is not looking, people don't do security. What do people, criminals do? When the police aren't working, do people commit crimes? This is a course on crime. Right? Now, one of the things has to do with the value proposition. Now, the culture was defined as the value proposition. And what do we value? We value different assets. Beforehand, if I insulted you, that was a crime I could kill you for. Nowadays, you can't kill people for insulting each other. But if they steal things, physical things. So you have the notion between what is the material that we value? What is the asset? If we go back to the model. If I steal something that someone doesn't own, is that, if I take something that someone doesn't own, is that a crime? No. So ownership and crime are related. Okay? Now how, if we go back to what the course is about, is I want to give you a model to understand, explain. Do you remember the order I talk all the time? You want a model to help you understand something? Explain it, influence it, and control it. But before you can do that, what's the final thing? You want, before you can influence and control something, what do you have to be able to do? Measure it and predict it. Right? We're trying to predict crime. Your job as security professionals is to predict crime. Now, to understand the crime phenomenon, can we look at past crimes? Can we look at history? Well, history of... Good. Now we have everybody back. Good. Now I'm going to stop. So now everybody's back and we get into the lecture. Now we're talking about how these... I asked a question to Stephen going about how these pictures are related. And you see Trump saying that the Skittles now. Now what's interesting, if you go back to what he was talking about when it comes to open source software... Isn't open, the way we use open source software and technology today, isn't like going into a thing of Skittles and just taking a handful? Yes. Right? Go ahead, have a question.
No, it's not a question, but you can compare this with, for instance, in the mountain in Norway. You are walking in the mountain and a storm comes and you have a cabin.
Yes.
But if you're in a storm and you need to save your life, you can do it, and you can leave a note that I've entered your room, sort of. And it's the same with that's a difficult, that way of dealing with things is very difficult in the cyber domain, right? Because you can, it's the same, tashki, what's that in English, to enter somebody else's room, but you can't...
damage it.
Yes.
Is that the same?
Yeah, that's the question.
And remember what the difference was the intent. What's the difference between safety and security engineering?
But that's so difficult for me as a Norwegian.
And it all has to do with intent. But going back to this, and we talked about it in the course, I'm going to jump back to this, see if this works. In one of the lectures before. See if this works now. So, when we're studying criminology, going back to the pond, going back to the pile of Skittles on the table, right? So these are the Skittles here. We have red color ones, we have blue Skittles, right? And then we have one that have arsenic in them. And we said that 3%, in this case, 3% have arsenic in them. So when we're studying a system in a culture, are there bad people by definition? Are in any culture, your employees. I have 1,000 employees. At least 3 of them are psychotic. And two of them are psychotic bad, and one of them is a hacker. Or one of them is your boss. And that's a joke in a sense, but it's important to understand is that what Trump was proposing and why people understand it, that's the situation. Now, how are we going to have it? How are we going to predict who these people are? Predict. Because going back to the Syrian policy, if I jump back to that, if this works. This pile here. We're saying that 3 out of 1,000 terrorists, refugees we take in are going to be terrorists. Right? It's the same problem. And how do we deal with that, right? So the message is correct. I'm saying, why don't do this? Why is this a don't for security managers? Why, if I'm working in security, making prediction, why is this a don't? I don't see why this is not a don't. It's a good way of expressing it. I mean, yeah, just think about it. Why is this a don't?
It won't help you solve the problem. It's just a reject for your employees. But it's impossible.
Okay. Is it impossible to predict that someone will do bad things? A certain percentage? We know that 3% are going to do bad things, right? We don't know exactly, but if we have an opportunity structure, this course is about opportunity structure, right? So if we set up a structure, we know that these people will take advantage of it. Now, the terrorists attack weak targets. They attack civilians because they're weak. It's not as if the terrorists are attacking strong targets. It's not as if they're going on and doing things. They attack the weak targets. So we know that given a situation like this. Now, going back to the concept of historical and dialectic materialism, can we use past experience in criminology to predict? So ask the question I've been before. Historical materialism says that we can look at the past, and using information from the past, we can predict the future. Right? So that's what historical materialism was about. And they predict that Marx predicted wrongly that the workers would become alienated with the means of production and then revolt, and they didn't revolt. And then going on to this, you have something called, this is a classic book that everybody has to read in my schools. It's called Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy. And Schopenhauer says that the theory that technology would only serve to concentrate ownership and wealth towards large corporations. This is written 1920. What's happened in the United States nowadays was Amazon, Google, etc., right? So we have economic theory as basically supporting this claim, right? Is that in Schopenhauer's view, socialism will ensure the production of goods and services directly meeting the authentic needs of the people of Hungary and Albania, in this case. I mean, so going back to this whole notion of what is historical materialism. So we're looking at things and we're saying that when we get into this theory, and I have to get back to that later on. Now, I'm going to make a leap now because here's an example of modern research talking about how computers and security, cybersecurity breaches, Shopta to the rescue, that means what's going on. And basically, the concept here is the concept of creative destruction or economic cleansing would apply to organizations, subunit production lines. Okay, so I read the whole sentence, it's going to be tough to say now. Okay, so I give you time to read the thing. So basically, when you have time to read it, what he's saying is that the market will never provide, the marketplace will never provide the tools to secure your organization, because it would only be sub-optimizing the organization. Now, these are classic economic theories. This is not me sort of being conspiracy theory, whatever. These are classic economic theories, right? So going back to the knowledge thing, is that it almost goes against science to believe that the marketplace can solve the cybersecurity problem. And what he's saying, that organizations, so thereby taking this initiative to install intrusion prevention system, intrusion detection systems, automated systems, etc. This is an article. I won't make you read this article because this is a course in security economics. I have to figure out how to get this article something of this nature so you understand the economics of the marketplace and why things are designed the way they're designed. And it has to do with this and why we're modeling the way we're modeling. Okay. So first off, for this lecture, we had that type of cursive reading. So this article, as you said, this is the article they have for cursive reading, tried to figure out a way to measure this. Stephen, right? Basically, you wanted to say, how does this curve look? And you were showing that this curve was basically saying that. Because you said that 70% of the people were good. Right?
To themselves.
70% of the people thought they were good, and they thought that this one's here, right? And then your job as a security manager, etc., is how do we want this curve to look? Right? But the first thing we have to do is figure out how to measure it. Right? So when you read the article, you have to understand that notion. That's what Stephen is trying to do in that, right? So that's what this article is trying to get him at. And we talked about before in the course is that you have to model, measure, then manage. Now what I've given you the model to look at is to use the social technical root cause analysis as a way of modeling the problem. Okay, so why did the crime be committed? So first you have to have the measurement. So one is to have the model. Stephen was working on the measurement, right? Now what this has to do with historical materialism is that we have an old past of how crimes were committed. Now, should you tolerate, how much are we willing to tolerate that people do bad things? 3%, 4%? How many cottages have to be broken into before we make a hard law about using somebody's cottage? Hytta. Now, what's interesting in the Norwegian society, you're quite tolerant, right? So you guys are willing to take 10, 20%. In American culture, I mean, if someone just does one thing, all of a sudden they're shooting you, right? They're using other methods. And that's what the course is about, to understand this business about... first, the research question is, can we use past data to understand how we should deal with cybercrime? Is cybercrime different than any other crime? That's the first assumption. So we have an assumption that it is different, or if it is the same. All I want you to do when you're doing your things, I want you to be aware of your assumptions. So when you're writing this one here now, some of you said, no, it's not different. And when you're analyzing the case, I want you to be able to use that case to either prove or disprove your assumptions. Greta? Yes.
And a culture, we were talking about culture in the Norwegian mountains now, but we can also have culture like in academia. here at Antonio. That's a very different work environment than, for instance, in my entrepreneur company.
I'm blind. Gary's asking a question. I'm just going to side note. Keep asking. She asked a question. It's a very different, different organizational cultures are different.
Yeah, for instance, in academia and in an entrepreneur, for instance, where there is working a lot of carpenters that have to meet up at 7 every day, do the work through the day, finish at 4. In academia, people doesn't even follow the Norwegian
holiday. Yeah.
That we should meet up at 9, right? And but it's, I guess it's okay because
now, what's interesting? So the question was is that as security managers, when we're looking at society, we're seeing that it's made up of a bunch of different subcultures. So you have academic subcultures, you have Norwegian cultures, you have business cultures, you have all these different cultures. And cultures is described as a distribution of value. Now, it was quite interesting because I won't say who, but so NSM phoned me last night. They do it a lot. I don't know why. And it had to do with students, employees. They wanted to... They're hiring people. You know, everybody's hiring now, so they're hiring people, right? And they asked me about this individual. They gave me a situational test. He used me as a reference, right? He said, if person X had to choose between making delivery on time or making a delivery with quality, which would he choose? So I have this big NSM organization asking me whether they should hire this individual, and they want me as a someone who's worked with him, et cetera, to judge whether time is more important than quality, as you saw this conflict in Steve's presentation, right? And the right answer was time, believe it or not. This is for a management position, too. Now, what does that say about NSM then, where time is more important than quality? Right? Everybody's getting worried now. I'm not being critical, but that's the organizational quote, right? Sector.
Sector in Norway.
Right? No, it's not so much that. But that was interesting in terms of the situation and why time was more important. And it has to do with the fact that we're in a crisis situation. Everybody believes that the security is something new and we have to get something done and done now, and then we learn from the mistakes. Right? That's the situation we have now. So that's the culture. So going back to this one here now. Now, we've seen this type of behavior before when it comes to, say, automobiles now. When the automobile was introduced in other areas in technology, can we use the way other technology was introduced to understand it? So when automobiles were introduced, if you look at that from a historical material perspective, what was the first car ever stolen? Right? How do we distinguish between dealing with crime of stealing a horse and stealing a car? When was a key first introduced into a car? So we have new technology coming into society. When was the speed limit first introduced? Right? So technology, new technology is always coming in and changing behavior. Right? And then we're putting in, then we have to get regulations accepted to justice, right? Like, what's the difference between stealing a car and stealing someone's horse? These are the things we have to understand in order to regulate. And how did we regulate stealing someone's horse, say, in the Wild West? You steal someone's... Yes, go ahead. So the answer was you mark them, right? You make it visible, right? But we don't do that now. We send them off to... But to understand that the But do we have more horse thieves in a society now that we have cars? What's the relationship between that, right? If we start looking at that, when new technology introduced. I mean, should you be allowed to sell a car without a lock on it? No, I'm saying that's... There's nothing in... If you look at the regulations, where does it say that? You can go in and look at it. It's not regulated. We can sell a PC without a lock on it. You can sell an iPhone. You can sell a phone. And the default password is 0000. Do we want to change that? Right. So that's the whole idea here to understand what we're doing, is that that's why this is socially technical enabled crime. Okay, if I could have requirements saying that you have to have this, right? I can design a gun that only shoots for one person. I can design it that all bullets have registration on it, right? Instead of having these huge forensic things, etc. So that's crime, etc. So that's what I mean by social, technical, and... So you have a culture that's willing to accept certain levels of risk, right? And then we have to develop a method and machine to deal so that there's harmony between the culture and the structure. That's all this is saying. And I'm saying now, what I want you to be able to do is at any time, can we use the old method in this case? If someone is caught for hacking, can I introduce the fact that if I have an ID card, that it's always on it that they had hacked? I could even easily have a digital identity. And we mark the person that's stolen. And is this a good thing or not? So, we know that sociologically we can do that. We did this in the past. And what I want to know, can we do it technologically now? And why haven't we done that? Does anybody have an answer why we haven't? Okay, so put this in another context. I'm jumping context all the time. But in the United States, if you're a pedophile, you are marked. And when you move into a district, what are you supposed to do in the United States? You're supposed to tell everybody around you that you have been registered as a pedophile. Going back to this Trump thing, whatever, how they do different things. So going back to what Stephen was talking about, you can see how this metaphor works. In their society, if you're marked as a pedophile, in their society, they're treating refugees with less restrictions than they do their own citizens that have been committed by a crime. So in terms of the value, it's nothing different. Right? So this that's why it was interesting with this metaphor. They're doing nothing different here. A criminal can't vote. Right? I mean, they have their society values that, right? They really, so this metaphor works, and I it's really tough for me because I, since I'm Canadian, I'm not really American. I know how they think, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with this from a social technical context. Right? What? Well, no. Would you agree, though, that say, I'm jumping into topics, but would you agree that? If a pedophile moved to Jervik, he would like to your son and move next door to you. You would like to know that. And they have laws. They have social technical structures in place to do that, right? But they have more social controls. How could you make that a social technical control then, right? Think out of the box. Now, I'm jumping to the pedophiles, but I want to think out of the box. How would you make that a social technical control? What is the technology we have to use to mark people nowadays? Yes? Huh?